My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Leader Cutler, thank you very much for joining us. And look, I applaud your efforts to go back in there, meet with the cops, try to do all that. Tell us what you see happening here, though.
Well, what I see happening is very clear. The Democrats continue to politicize January the 6th because that's all they have from a political standpoint. They don't have any good policies that they can run on, so they continue to try to bring this issue into every debate. And they're politicizing our floor guests as well as our legislative process with the bills and the amendments. Remember, these are the same people who argue that we should defund the police. They're the same ones who argued that we should not provide the resources to our police that they need and deserve. And now they're trying to act like friends of the cops and argue that the Republicans somehow are the ones who are not faithful to them. And that's just ridiculous because it's politically advantageous for them.
Yeah. So what happened, right? There was some political event. Harry Dunn is probably the second most famous next to Officer Fanone. And a new cop that I hadn't seen before. And then they take a picture, all Democrats with them on the House floor. What happened then?
Well, look, I mean, the speaker introduced them. And at the beginning of sessions, always kind of people are coming and going as they bring people in and out. And that's normal. And quite honestly, I just wish the Democrats would actually start on time. I don't believe we started on time one single session day this year. And so sometimes people don't make it to the floor right on time, or we're early and we're left there waiting for a long time. So they engage in other legislative activity, filing bills and amendments and whatnot. And the speaker was going through their routine. And as is customary, they ran through a brief introduction and invited me up to get a speaker with them. I spoke to the two gentlemen with them, got a picture taken, had a nice conversation. And the Democrats are just trying to politicize the entire day. And remember, it's my understanding that they were there actually for a political rally immediately prior to session. So it's definitely a political event that carried onto the floor, and I just think that's inappropriate.
Yeah, and tell me, now you're the strategist, you're actually doing it. I think it's fine if you walk out on something like this. That's not disparaging these cops as much as what's being done. But if some people try to answer back, that's just giving them what they want if that happens.
Well, look, I think we can agree on a couple core beliefs as Americans. I think that we can agree that violence during the Black Lives Matter riots, as well as January the 6th, was wrong and was horrible. I think that we can also agree that we should honor our law enforcement and the military. And I think in this case that we can agree that Democrats continue to politicize events and people to their benefit. And it's unfortunate. We're there to govern. As a Republican caucus, we're there to run bills and ideas, and we're consistently shut down. They use political procedures to ignore our amendments and remove them. Additionally, they will simply, earlier this week, we had an occurrence on the floor where the speaker failed to recognize and return to somebody who rightfully had the floor. I raised the point of order to get that individual recognized because it was only appropriate, and that's what our rules say. The speaker proceeded to take the vote without returning to the good gentleman, and that was completely out of line. So their behavior on the floor is, quite frankly, unprecedented. I've never seen anything like it, and it's just a politicization of the entire process, and that's wrong. The House floor is for governing. The rotunda is where press conferences and political events can happen, but they continually mix the two.
While we have you here just for a minute, the other burning issue is school choice and choice. And when Democrats want to tar suddenly Republicans like you as being not pro-cop or anti-cop, not all of them, because there are several that I know and have on the show, but the majority of them would rather stay with the teachers' unions, and they knowingly are consigning these kids to some of the worst schools across the state.
Absolutely. When you look at their voting record, and the speaker was very clear that the facts are the facts earlier this session. And, you know, facts are, in fact, accurate, and they've consistently voted against school choice. I'll remind everybody that it was the House Democrat caucus that removed that from the budget agreement as the budget proceeded last year. So the only reason that we do not have school choice at this time already in some greater form is because of their actions in removing it from the bill. I objected in committee, but like many other things, they simply ran it through. I think if it were actually to get a vote, I think that it would be supported with strong bipartisan support. And I think that it could advance because ultimately it should be about the kids. It should be about the students that need to have a better educational opportunity, not what zip code you live in, and not being trapped in a failing school, which is the current efforts of the Democrat caucus.
Handicap it for us this time, though. Wouldn't you think Shapiro particularly, he may believe in it somewhat, but for political purposes, it makes him golden. Does it stand a chance to get voted on this time?
I certainly hope it does, but ultimately it will depend on how the House Democrats receive it, discussion yet again. Last time they refused to have it. I hope at least this time that we can engage in the discussion, because I think that discussing about opportunities for students is absolutely worthwhile. And I think it's one that we owe the individuals in these schools. Furthermore, when you look at the recent court case, remember, their answer is only to raise more taxes and provide more money. That's it. That's the only plan that they have. And the court opinion was very clear. There's other alternatives to ensuring that students have opportunities. And remember, the monetary part of that decision was simply that the money wasn't being distributed fairly. And they want to turn it into simply a blank check to fund every school to the level that they want. And I personally don't believe that we should fund schools and policies and programs that don't work. We should look at what works, and we should make sure that students have the biggest chance for success as possible.
Well, if they get their way, our listeners to us right now, they're the ones that are going to pay, you and I are too, substantially for this.
Correct.
Yeah, you could say
that's why we're going to keep fighting for good policies that give educational opportunities to students to succeed, ultimately, hopefully stay here, work on having a stronger economy and one of public safety. That's why we've historically supported the police and funding the police, unlike the House Democrats and, you know, many of their calls in prior budget years to defund the police. And ultimately, we want to make the Commonwealth the best place possible to live and do business.
One smaller point, maybe. It wasn't just the Democrat leadership that is saying some of these comments I'm reading at Penn Live and nationally, where the Capitol police officers, one at least put it up on Twitter, saying the Republican Party has lost their way, and I'm not buying any bridge from guys like you anymore because you're not pro-cop.
Well, I respectfully disagree. I felt like we had a good exchange and a conversation, appreciated his military service. And I'd encourage you to look simply at their prior activities and even their bios on their social media profiles. They admit that they're political individuals that are campaigning on behalf of the Biden administration, and that's where they're currently at. I recognize the political lines. I appreciate honorable service, but politics is politics, and that is outside the realm of the legislative process, and currently the House Democrats are ensuring that it's not.
Thank you, Leader. Thank you very much. Have a nice weekend.
You're very welcome. You as well.
All right, there is the Pennsylvania Republican leader, Brian Cutler. And again, we led off the show today. You heard what he said there to the end. So let me just take a moment. He just said that they're, as I mentioned, they're on a tour. They're hooked into the Biden administration. And you can say, well, do they really think, try to think strategically in this. What else do they have? This all gets back to democracy. Democracy and abortion, abortion and democracy. They're trying to chip away whatever they can. Republicans are golden military cops. They're trying to chip that away. And to the point he made at the end, who's the party that dreamed up to fund the police? Who hates the police? At least various members of the National Democrat Party. We know who they are. And the military, the same thing. So they're apparently on a tour nationwide. It's not Fanon. It's Harry Dunn and this other cop that seems to be part of this revolving circus now. They hold a rally. They attack Republicans on this. And then they bring it to the floor. I'm just saying strategically, your move is to walk out on them. Booing. Getting into it with them, that's not going to be a winner. The media is ready to pounce. So that's the headlines here. This is what they want. They want to diminish. Now you could say, well, who doesn't know that? Again, it's a game of inches. They're trying to pry some people loose. Pennsylvania is going to be really tight. Let me go to Mike in Fishtown, Talk Radio 1210. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. Don, I've been listening to your show. I mean, I listen every day, but sooner or later, cops got to be called out on this stuff. I mean, the Pennsylvania police endorsed the current governor. They had a state policeman fired about 3 weeks ago. Nobody knows why, what he did wrong.
Right. They're weak. That union is very weak. Look, we can only contact them, ask them to come on so many times. They're a disgrace. Now, I have all the friends in the world at the FOP. I didn't like that they endorsed Shapiro at all. I said, stay out of it then if you can't endorse Mastriano, which I understand why they couldn't.
Yeah, and again, these cops, they paraded out on the House floor. They weren't drug out there. They went out on their own.
No, they're on a tour for Biden. That's exactly what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's what the Democrats do. We know that. But I'm saying we should call these cops out. Say, what's the deal with you guys? Did they get amnesia? They didn't know the Democrats wanted to defund the police? I think the cops should be criticized more than the Democrats.
Well, you know what, Dan? Without too much, but if you take a shot and Harry Dunn, Dan, we'd welcome him on the show. And look, Mike, you know how we would go because for obvious reasons. I treat cops and military above anybody else because of their service. But you're right. At a certain point, how can you stand with the party that hates police at the national level, at least?
Yeah. Well, Don, maybe they're getting paid. I
think they develop anti-Trump sentiment. They want to get him no matter what. They were attacked. Some of them did suffer on January 6th. But how in the world does that result in that we go with the Democrat Party as the remedy to anything when it comes to cops.
Thank
you, Mike. Thanks very much. All right. So we'll see if Harry Dunn, somebody like that, would come on. Why January 6th? You got January 6th bleeds into this idea of democracy. They're going to take away democracy. That's what they still want to run on. The Supreme Court decision on abortion, Dobbs decision, and democracy, D&D. What else can you run on? The other issues, they'll just try to downplay immigration, pretend on the border, inflation, say, what's wrong with you? We didn't cause it. The economy's great. All right, side question today, before Dom's Money Melody, something significant about the UK, person, place, thing is what we're looking for. Let's go to Robert in Ben Salem. All right, Robert, afternoon. What do you have today?
Hey, Dom. Damn, it's good to talk to you guys today. Real quick, I'm watching an ad from Joe Biden, the unconvicted felon, and he's extolling the virtues of him capping insulin payments to $35 a month in his campaign ad.
Yes.
So being a researcher, I said, that's not right. And I went back and verified. Trump did that in an executive order in May of 2020. In July of 2020, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid approved action on the executive order. And by December of 2020, it was implemented. In January of 21, Joe Biden rescinded that order. And when the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid appealed in February, he didn't even let them appeal. And then in July of 2021, he takes that same executive order and sticks his name on it. And I can't believe, even I'm surprised by how insidious and underhanded and despicable these people are, man. And
well,
they don't get away with it.
That's why John Roberts this week on the news, you probably saw this not one day, but 2 days, was into it. And what did they do? Rather than admit it or not say anything, they went after him and said that he's a shill, shouldn't be a journalist. He made the same points, which are very good points. And Trump was very good, different than most Republicans, on buying power to try to drive down prices, things like insulin. That was another area that he got into more than any Republican that I've seen.
I dream of the days when we have an honest media and the Democrats in today's form don't stand a chance, but maybe that's a pipe dream. At any rate,
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Britain, the sun never set on the British Empire because they had so many colonies. We were the main ones, so I'm going to say the best thing to come out of England was us. You guys have a great weekend, okay?
Thank you. I love Dan how he takes our tagline. We just said something. He made it better what we said before. Best thing out of Jersey ever, you know. Thing most memorable. The best thing out was us. These guys are slick. They're getting too good here. Side question today. Let's go to Joe in Bordentown on Talk Radio 1210. Oh. Hey, Joe, good afternoon. Give us something significant. Yeah, something significant with the UK, Joe. What do you have?
I have Thomas Crapper, the inventor of the flush toilet.
Your delivery is fantastic, Joe.
Thomas Crapper.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We'll put that under advisement to see where we go with that.
I did check it. He is from Thorn, United Kingdom, an English businessman.
All right, there we go. That's like the Budweiser thing, Dan. They always want to come up with that, no matter what we do. It always comes down to that.
We can call in first.
All right, let's go for a change of pace now to the other elevated level, Joe of Exton. Hey, Joe, afternoon.
Yes, hello, Don, and good Friday afternoon to you. My O Britannia moment occurs in 1939, following the start of World War II, when Winston Churchill addresses Parliament and admonishes the British public to prepare for hard times and to expect blood, sweat, and tears.
Great. That is, are you talking from the darkest hour?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and when the Neville Chamberlain takes the hanky out, that's the signal. They all erupt then. Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. That's a good one. All right, we got Miranda Devine next, breaking down her time sentenced to Wilmington this week in the courtroom. What's her observations with Dr. Jill Biden, some of the other Bidens? Some of the back and forth here has said that the so-called little people in Delaware fear the Bidens.
Wait, you can't say that.
They run that.
Ask
I said
Hank
the
Johnson.
So-called.
Oh, that's the M word that Hank Johnson was using.
Yeah, yes, no. Little people in the sense of they're not as powerful, as wealthy as the vaunted Bidens. That's right.
Sorry.
I'm not allowed to say midget. I'm going to keep on saying midget, Hank Johnson.
Okay,
Hank Johnson the other day was in the hearing, got the big hearing this week. I'm trying to remember. Fauci. It may have been Hank Johnson.
Was he?
Oh, my God. Yes. All right. Miranda Devine, though, is the author of the book On the Laptop. And she has been in the courtroom every day filing around the clock, it seems like, what's going to happen with Hunter Biden. Should he go to jail? You know, you're already hearing the arguments, even if convicted. Why would you do that? Her book, Laptop from Hell, it was finally verified. Would that have been the determining factor in 2020? I'm not going to be outrageous and say yes. Hard to say. But again, 52 people, intelligence officials in all kinds of administrations, Russian disinformation, the media in the tank. How dare you? The New York Post got nailed with this, her newspaper. She's next. Can already wait to hear some of the observations from this week. Laptop from Hell, Hunter Biden, Big Tech, and the dirty secrets the president tried to hide. And out on September 24th, I just found out about this, 2024, the big guy inside the Biden family of scandal. Biden family scandal machine. Okay, sorry about that. Let's go to Miranda Devine. That book is even more intriguing. Miranda, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for the great reporting this week. What's your biggest takeaway from being in there with all the Bidens this week?
Oh, thanks so much, Dom. Well, it was a real show of power and force by the Biden family. And you really get the feeling being in Wilmington of what a small town it is. It's, 70,000 people. It's pretty, it has the air of the grandeur that it had during the Second World War with these enormous corporate buildings lining these wide streets. But it's certainly seen better days and there are a lot of homeless people. And really we've seen a parade of just honest working class citizens coming into the witness box. They reflect the makeup of the jury. You know, you've got garbage truck drivers, you've got carpenters, teachers, police officers. And it's a stark contrast to the sort of Biden grandeur. Hunter Biden's father's portrait is in the lobby. There are, Chevy Suburbans for the Secret Service just blocking the road. Must be half a dozen of them for the various family members who turn up. Dr. Jill Biden, the First Lady, is resplendent in bright colours in the front row, unmistakable. The jury has to be aware of this. And in fact, during jury selection, the jurors talked about the Biden. Some of them knew personally individuals, members of the Biden family, and were disqualified. But everybody in town, the sort of Biden presence is overwhelming. And on the Monday that the jury, the trial started, the beginning of this week, Joe Biden had changed his schedule to fly in on Sunday night from his beach house. And, everything, all the traffic is tied up, roads are blocked, there are motorcades and flashing sirens. Everybody in town knows when the president is in town, and they know why he's there now, because of this trial that's unfolding this week with his son, Hunter Biden. And I think of the jury, you've got 7 out of 12 who say that they had you know, very close family members or close friends with drug and alcohol problems. So the jury is sort of set up for Hunter Biden to be sympathetic. And that's what we're starting to see now, that the prosecution has rested their case this morning. And now you have the defense coming in. And, of course, they had Naomi Biden, who's Hunter Biden's eldest daughter. I think she's 30. She was the one who was married last year in the Rose Garden. Actually, maybe not in the Rose Garden, but anyway, at the White House, and was living with her fiance, now husband, Peter Neal, at the White House for a couple of weeks beforehand, as was Hunter. In fact, Hunter Biden lives off and on at the White House.
Yes, quite it's a amazing, lot. Isn't it? Yes. To interrupt for a minute, I have to admit personal bias, and you can tell me what it's like seeing her. Hunter Biden's wife has the all-time scowl, so it didn't surprise me when she apparently went up to maybe a Trump operative who was observing and called him a blanking Nazi there.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, she's taking care of her husband, I guess. Like, I mean, I can't necessarily say I blame her. It wasn't a good look, and it wasn't a fair thing to do to Garrett Ziegler from Marco Polo. But you know, he took it in his stride, and the emotions are running high. And I think the New York Post, we had a story yesterday, a body language expert compared Melissa Cohen, Hunter Biden's second wife, to her body language to Melania Trump, the sort of permanent scowl, the sort of I'm above it all, you know, when there's embarrassing mm-hmm. dirty laundry being aired in court, you know, chin in the air and so on. I don't really blame Melissa Cohen for having a scowl on her face. It can't be pleasant. When she's in court, though, she stays pretty impassive. She's always has sitting next to her. She's had Jill Biden sitting next to her, except for yesterday when Jill Biden flew to France right. for 24 hours before she's back again today. And so in her place was Auntie Val, Valerie Biden Owens, who's Joe Biden's sister, very loyal sister, ran all his campaigns for him. And she's a pretty fierce operator. And we know that Kathleen Biden, Hunter's ex-wife, said she found her intimidating. In one of the text messages that Hunter sent to a friend on the abandoned laptop, which has now been verified.
I wanted to ask you, the moment when you're fine, you're such a professional, but you were a driving force pre and post and during this whole thing. And when it finally is there and everybody says, oh, yes, this has always been there, not Russian disinformation. What are you thinking in your mind? What's going on inside when it finally arrives in front of you in court?
I just have a little dry chuckle when I see the New York Times and, you know, CNN, MSNBC, just blithely talking about this evidence that's come from this laptop that they had never mentioned before. But honestly, the moment, I've never, you know, at all sort of sought vindication or acted like any vindication was needed, because it wasn't, because, you know, the New York Post, we always knew that this was legitimate information. The laptop was real. So it's kind of a bit of a ho-hum. But it was terrific to see this week the laptop, the actual physical laptop, a silver MacBook 13 Pro. It's wrapped in a clear wrapper. It was sitting on the prosecutor, Derek Hines' desk. He picked it up, held it aloft, said it was a laptop, showed it to the jury, walked across the courtroom and gave it to his first witness, who is the FBI agent, who then said, yes, I can verify that this is Hunter Biden's laptop from the serial number on the back, which matches his iCloud account. And then she also said, and the laptop was, and she used the word, abandoned at the computer repair shop, as we said, right there in Wilmington, a few miles away. And she also said that they had corroborated the content of the laptop with the content of the iCloud. And the big coincidence that, you know, I only just found out in court, I think it was yesterday, was that the FBI subpoenaed that iCloud information just one day after Hunter Biden dropped the laptop off at the MacBook shop in Delaware. He dropped it off on the 12th of April 2019. On the 13th of April 2019, investigators in Delaware from the U.S. Attorney's Office subpoenaed, the FBI associated with them, subpoenaed the iCloud data. So that was a coincidence, but what a coincidence. And what it means is that there is a direct correspondence between the content, because Hunter didn't have a chance to add more information that wasn't on the iCloud.
So prosecution has rested, and it seems, we're not in court, and it's still open court, that the evidence of what happened here is very, very solid. And will the defense really try to prove that he wasn't an addict at that point, or are they going to try to defense he was only an addict at times, so it doesn't count to get that? And is the overarching thing here in the end the punishment if he is convicted? You hear people saying, why would you send someone like this to jail?
Well, I think, the prosecution case is pretty open and shut. It's pretty slam dunk.
Yes.
It's a pretty simple case. But what Abby Lowell, who's a very expensive lawyer and very tricky and clever, what he's trying to do is to just seed some doubt in the juror's mind that Hunter Biden was actually using drugs and addicted at the precise moment or on the day that he signed that form. I mean, I think he will try and make it down to the precise moment. And if Hunter Biden in his mind felt that he was not addicted or using drugs at the moment that he signed the form, he thought to himself, well, I'm not puffing on a crack pipe now, so it's true when I sign this form and say I'm not using drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, parsing the meaning of the word is. It's quite amusing, but he's setting that all up. So I think he's got a three-pronged strategy. It's that. It's also engendering sympathy for Hunter and his addiction, which, now he's portraying himself as just being, clean and everything's all that tragedy is behind him. And then also he's trying to sow some doubt about whether that ATF form was doctored after the fact or something. I think that line has pretty much been crushed by the witnesses that have come forward from the gun shop, who are very compelling and very decent people.
Tell us a little bit, too, and I guess we can start to order the big guy inside the Biden family scandal machine. I don't think we know enough about the brother Biden. Is he included in that?
This is Jim Biden.
Jim Biden.
Joe Biden's
one
of Joe Biden's brothers. Well, Jim Biden is going to be testifying in court today, yes. And, he's covered. I cover him a lot in The Big Guy. And The Big Guy is sort of a sequel to my first book, Laptop from Hell, but it goes into the cover-up, which I actually think the cover-up is an even bigger story and an even worse scandal than the sort of tale of original sin in Washington, D.C., which is corruption. I mean, that was bad enough, but the lies and the cover-up and the institutions involved in that, very heavy involvement of the CIA, mm-hmm. which is really disturbing, also the FBI and the DOJ, really scandalous. And the number of people that were sort of destroyed along the way who honest people, whether it be the honest prosecutor in Ukraine, Viktor Shokin, who was forced out by Joe Biden, threatening to withhold $1 billion in aid because this prosecutor was going after Burisma, which was the corrupt Ukrainian energy company that was paying Hunter Biden $1 million a year for basically nothing except protection. Also, honest FBI agents, honest IRS investigators. The book really owes everything to these whistleblowers, named and unnamed, who have come forward and done the right thing and rescued, the integrity of the United States and its institutions by coming forward and have been punished terribly along the way.
Unbelievable work. Thank you so much. It's a thrill every time we have access to you. I know how busy you are. Anytime, though, we'd love to continue the conversation. Miranda Devine, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Dom. Bye-bye.
You're right, Dan. She paints an incredible picture.
And
she's very generous. She didn't go wild there. I thought she might. That woman in the scowl, I all-time scowler. And this guy... I was going to ask her, but we had so many other things. What is the attraction of Hunter Biden? How is he able to weave all these webs with these different women? It's amazing. Must be the old Biden charisma. 855-839-1210. It is the lightning round next. We'll get to that. Hit us with your best answer.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That is right. Something significant about the UK for all the reasons we've talked about today. Let's go to Pat in Delco on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Pat, good afternoon. What's your answer today?
Hey, I'm staying with the Philly theme. They had a promotional item last weekend, the red double-decker bus.
Yeah, they look pretty good. I like Philadelphia's big bus, too. But, yeah, the Brits have us on that one. The Earl of Tacony. All right, Earl, what's yours?
I'm going to go with something that Britain is known for, and that would be bad food. I mean, they do have Chef Ramsay and Julia Child, but they're all trained in the French school of cooking.
Yes.
I mean, it's so bad, there's even an old joke that says, heaven is where the police are British, the cooks are French, the mechanics are German, the lovers are Italian, and it's all organized by the Swiss. Hell is where the chefs are British, the mechanics are French, the lovers are Swiss, the police are German, and it's all organized by the Italians.
What's the end of weekend on, Dan? He's been saving that lineup for a while. That's right. Drew in Upper Darby has been on a roll this week. Can he keep it up? A lot of pressure. Hey, Drew, good afternoon. What do you have?
No, hey, Dom, thanks, man. Hey, you know what, Dom? We all know who rules the seas these days. You know, the United States Navy basically guards the world. That's, you know, how superior we are. But, Dom, from the 16th through the 19th century, the English Navy, where they were supreme. There was Portuguese and the Dutch and the French, but no one compared with the English Navy. Their admirals and their captains and their navigational talent, you know, they really were something, you know. I was watching a movie the other day, The Mutiny on the Bounty, and it's amazing how their sophistication just reigned supreme.
Thank you, Drew. Bruce in in Northeast Philly. Hey, Bruce, what do you have?
Hey, by the way, happy birthday to the swinging sound of Tom Jones on WFIL.
That's exactly right. Going to get him the Mulligans. I'm telling you, he's coming to Mulligans. I'm working on it.
That would be great. You know, concerning the United Kingdom, yeah, that's where that mysterious collection of huge stones known as Stonehenge is located there, big giant.
Good one, Stonehenge. All right, yeah. I think it's time here so that we get a full hearing, because these were very good. Dan, give me some suggestions out of today's.
I liked Robert Mansalem said us being America is the best thing from United
States. That was clever.
Yeah. Thomas Crapper, Joe in Bordentown with quite the delivery. Right. Joe in Exton had a great Churchill addressing Parliament and blood, sweat, and tears. Pat with the red double-decker bus I really like. But Earl's call where he kind of threw a shot towards you at the end there was a pretty dang good one today, Dom, with bad food.
So you like, yeah, that's true.
I'm really between Robert and Earl today.
The UK in general, not just the Brits, Haggis and that stuff. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's go with the Earl of Tacony today.
All right, so, Dom, let's get music going. Monday, we asked something named after somebody. Dennis in Salem County called in with the Mendoza line. Tuesday, what's a notable fictional town? Drew in Upper Darby had a very clever answer of Cabot Cove from Murder, She Wrote. Wednesday, impactful moment in a film. Drew in Upper Darby won 2 days consecutively. Whatever happened to Baby Jane, that feeding scene between two actresses who hated one another? Thursday, once an institution that has since faltered, Robin in Medford took it with Hollywood. And you just heard Earl win today with something associated with the United Kingdom, bad food. I think we can all agree there. So, Dom, I'm going to throw them all into the hat. Now let's get a drum roll going. Got number one, Monday, first day of the week. Dennis in Salem County, the Mendoza line. I missed that one, Dom, but congratulations, Dennis. You win our prize today.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.